You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The governor of North Dakota said this week that he's trying to find a solution to the standoff over the Dakota Access Pipeline, a nearly $3.8 billion energy project. For months now, protesters at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota have been clashing with law enforcement and the company Energy Transfer Partners over plans to run part of the oil pipeline near the Standing Rock Reservation and its water source. There are a lot of different threads in this story. You've probably seen it on social media. To pull them apart, we have Dan Gunderson. He's a correspondent at NPR News, part of our APM family. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can you give us a sense of what the scene is like at Standing Rock now? I understand it's getting really cold out there.
It is, although it's not as cold as a typical winter in North Dakota. Temperatures so far have been warmer than normal, although there was a blizzard that rolled in and changed conditions quite a bit this week. I'm sitting at the camp right now looking out over a sea of tents and dozens of traditional teepees and some wood structures that have been recently built to withstand the harsh North Dakota winters, all sorts of things that people are using to stay warm, including a public transit bus down here with a stovepipe sticking out the window.
And I understand that the protesters are saying they are not giving up. Can you, for people who haven't been following this closely, kind of give us the quick sketch of what they are protesting?
Well, they're protesting a pipeline called the Dakota Access Pipeline that is designed to move oil from the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota to Illinois. And the importance of that is there's a hub in Illinois which then allows that oil to move to refineries in the Gulf Coast. And that's important for the people who are producing the oil in North Dakota. Now, this pipeline crosses just north of the Standing Rock Reservation. And the point of contention here is the Missouri River. The river is actually dammed to make a reservoir here called Lake Oahee. And the plan is to tunnel under that lake to put the pipe in place. And that's pretty much all that remains to make this pipeline complete. And that's what the protest is about. And the Standing Rock Tribal Council has said from the beginning they opposed this pipeline and they were concerned about a potential leak which would affect their water supply, which is the Missouri River. And they were also concerned about destruction of sacred sites that are all over the landscape here.
Energy Transfer Partners, which owns this pipeline, has said it would cost approximately $3.8 billion. Is there any sense that they might budge and or reroute?
Well, they have said that they will not reroute, that this pipeline is going to be built. They're obviously still waiting. They need a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers to make that tunnel under the river, under Lake Oahee, to get the pipe through. And originally they had that permit back in July, and then the Corps of Engineers said, well, wait a minute, we're going to revisit this and take a look. We need to do a little more examination of this and consult with the tribe more on this. And so we're still waiting for the Corps to make a decision on what will happen with that permit.
One of the issues we've seen surrounding pipeline construction across the country over the last few years is land ownership issues. How common is it for a pipeline to go across native land or near sovereign native land?
Well, that's what makes this a really complicated issue because we have treaties involved here. For example, the pipeline goes just north of land, which is the Standing Rock Reservation. But tribal officials say it's crossing treaty land, which they believe they still have the rights to. This is a Treaty of Fort Laramie from 1851, which gave a large area of land to the Sioux Nation here. And they say they still have the rights to that land. And so that's part of the issue here. A lot of this land is officially in private ownership, or some of the land in question is owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. But tribal officials say, hey, this treaty has never been abrogated, and so this treaty still gives us control over this land.
Does anything change as far as either the protesters or the company is concerned with a change of presidential administrations that is going to happen in January?
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, President-elect Trump has said that he's very supportive of the oil industry and production in the U.S., I know that after the election, there was some fear expressed here at the camp about what that might mean. There was a lot of hope that President Obama would do something here and step in and take some action. And there's been some disappointment expressed here that he has not done that. They felt perhaps they would get a reprieve from President Obama at some point.
Are there other things that you have seen in your reporting there that you think are not getting out widely that people who are listening to this should know?
Well, it's a very challenging story. It's a it's a very remote location. It's a difficult area to get to and to cover. Cell phone signals are often very spotty. We have these competing narratives coming out from energy transfer partners, from law enforcement, sort of painting these protesters as, violent and dangerous. And when you spend time at the camp, you realize, the message here is that it's a peaceful, prayerful protest. And for the most part, most of the people that you talk to here are committed to a peaceful protest. There are some people here who feel that a more aggressive approach is needed. And so you have these competing narratives playing out on social media, and it can be very challenging, I think, for people to get a real sense of what is happening here. Most of the time, this is a very peaceful place. People are helping each other. They're building structures together. You have strangers working together who've never met each other before. So in many ways, it's a pretty amazing place that sprung up here on the prairie in North Dakota, but it's also a very complicated situation.
Dan Gunderson, within the APM family from NPR News, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Lizzie.